just only essentially a couple weeks left in the Truck Series season. You've had quite an interesting 2021 season. So what is the mindset going into these final couple races in the Truck Series that you'd like to accomplish before going to the full route in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, you know, really, I think for us, it's just going to be trying to get rid of a little bit of the bad luck that we've had the past two races, and really just finish strong. I think, you know, hopefully we can put together a good run at Martinsville and Phoenix, you know, just to set us up for you know, I think just get off the season on the right foot, moving into the off season and then getting ready for next year. You know, I don't think there's a specific goal, but, you know, really, I think if we can just put together two solid runs, you know, that myself and the team feels good about, you know, that way we can just, you know, keep our heads high and go into the next season with some confidence.
Most certainly. You've had quite an interesting year where initially it looked like it was going to be an ARCA East bid, then it turned to a national ARCA bid, and then all of a sudden you're in the Truck Series. How do you view this year as far as going from one commitment to another commitment and to just all of a sudden a big commitment that kind of ultimately landed to where you're going to be in next season?
Yeah, I was actually just talking to my manager about that, like, I think last week. You know, it's been wild, you know, going from thinking I was running ARCA West to, you know, ARCA Elite to then Trucks. And my schedule's been moved around quite a bit. And, you know, honestly, I didn't really know what I was doing, what races I was running, and so on and so forth. So it, you know, it feels good to have a contract signed, you know, especially when we got our contract done for next year. It was really pretty early in the season back in like beginning of August. So, you know, I'm excited to, you know, be able to have that 24 truck all year long next year, but, you know, it has definitely been an interesting year, you know, going from, different series, and kind of moving around quite a bit, but, you know, being able to next year, just focus on just running one specific series is going to be pretty good for me.
Does it help to have right now Grant having being a part of the team next season? Of course, that was announced last time this past weekend at Talladega. You're going to have Grant as your teammate. How do you feel like having him around will help not just you as a competitor, but also GMS Racing as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you look at GMS's truck lineup right now, and you have some really solid drivers with Zane and Sheldon. And, you know, and then of course, Tyler and Purdy as well. And, you know, it's been a great environment for me. You know, I think when you bring in someone like Grant Enfinger, who's been in the sport for so long, and definitely a seasoned veteran of the Truck Series, you know, I think that's just going to help the organization as a whole, really, when it comes to, you know, feedback that Grant will be able to give these guys, you know, the way we approach these race weekends. You know, I think it's going to be a big help for me. I think it's definitely going to change the environment, you know, because, you know, for me, it's like when I have Sheldon and Zane as teammates, and, you know, all three of us are pretty good buddies. And, you know, I'd say we're friends off the racetrack. And I think, you know, that environment will change a little bit just because the age difference between me and Grant. You know, but at the same time, I'm excited to be able to work with someone like Grant Enfinger. I'm sure I'm going to learn a lot from him. You know, I'm excited to be able to have someone like that as a teammate, you know, with the same, under the same manufacturer banner, and the same team, and just be able to work with him all year long.
Yeah, speaking of Sheldon, of course, he's going to be moving on to the Xfinity Series with RCR. How dynamically interesting has it been to be teammates with a couple Californians as well?
Yeah. I mean, it's been fun. I mean, I think GMS, really the only driver for GMS that is not from California is Chase Purdy. So all of us have a little something in common when it comes to where we're from, and where we grew up. So, you know, it's funny. Yeah, you have a lot of guys really in NASCAR in general, but, you know, especially over at GMS that are all from California. So, you know, it's been fun. It's been a a really great experience for me working with all those guys. I think all of us get along really well. And we spent a long time. We spent a lot of time together during the week, just with training with Josh Wise and stuff like that. So it's been a good environment for me to be a part of.
Speaking of Josh, what has been the greatest element that he's brought to that organization? I know Josh has been working with a lot of drivers in the past year since his driving days have been essentially over as far as the NASCAR level is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing for me that I think Josh adds that's a benefit to me is just structure. You know, I think it'd be pretty easy to get lost in like what your lifestyle is as far as, you know, being a race car driver in North Carolina. And I think, you know, just the stuff that Josh has us do week in and week out just really helps build structure into my life and all of our lives, really, whether it's the training or, you know, going to his office and learning about vehicle dynamics and, you know, the reaction time training, all that kind of stuff. It just, you know, it gives you something to do during the week, but then also it all pays off on the racetrack as well. But, you know, I think really just keeping us all busy, keeping us focused on the task at hand is just definitely, I think, the biggest thing for me that he's been able to offer.
Before heading to the east part of United States, what was kind of like the main method to kind of keep you trained and focused when you were driving the late models and also ARCA West, where at the time it was K&N West back in a couple years ago?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't really do much stuff, you know, to prepare for these races. You know, I spent a lot of time at the race shop getting cars ready. And, you know, when I was doing that, that didn't leave much time on the table for me to, you know, really prepare to drive the race cars rather than just get the cars to the track. So, you know, I think I'd watch a little bit of race footage here and there, but maybe like a little bit of iRacing, and then really just talk to other drivers when I get to the racetrack. But, you know, my entire process has changed so much over the last 8 months on, you know, how I approach what I'm doing behind the wheel of these race cars. And it's definitely changed. I think it's changed my performance, but really just who I am all around as a race car driver in general.
No, for sure. Most certainly. Like when you, of course, I remember when you were driving out west, you were one of the very few teams that would occasionally get a solid top five. Of course, out west you have McAnally and Brucati pretty much running the whole realm down there. So having those good runs out west, especially in that 78 car that you drove for a couple of years, how nice is it to be right around the competitive edge between those guys on the occasions that you were able to?
Yeah, you know, I think we, towards the end of our stint, running on the West Coast with our family team, I think we put together some good runs in the ARCA stuff. I think our last three races with Roseville, Kern, and Phoenix were all solid runs. Like you said, you know, BMR and Brincati really kind of control the West Series out here, and they dominate it. And it's tough being so far away from, you know, I would say the hub of NASCAR. You know, being out in Charlotte, North Carolina, it's tough to be competitive with family run teams. But, you know, at the same time, it was an exciting challenge for us to take that on. You know, and I think we did a pretty good job, but I came out here this weekend just to come home for a little bit, but I'm also out here because my cousin, Travis Milburn, is actually going to run the ARCA car that I ran at Roseville last year. He's going to run that race here. So I actually came out here to spot that race for him on Saturday night.
Well, interesting, because it's been a while since Travis has run out west, because I know he was spotting for John Wood at Las Vegas at the Bull Ring. So that's interesting to know he'll be back at it.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, it's a fun opportunity for him. You know, and as far as we go, you know, racing is really a big family sport for us. So, you know, I'm excited to be able to come out here and be a part of it for him. You know, he hasn't been in an ARCA car in a while, but, you know, that car for us last year ran, you know, decently well. I think we qualified third and I think ran majorly top five all night long. So, you know, it's a good opportunity for him, but you know, it's also just fun to me to get out of the seat and be able to, you know, take a different role at the racetrack and just kind of enjoy the sport from a different vantage point.
And it's of course with COVID and all that, how tough has it been for kind of like him to get back behind the wheel? Because I know in 2019 he drove the Kart Idaho Kart, the 08. He had a solid run at South Boston, and then after a while, people, I've had somebody on Twitter ask me, because I've religiously followed the West stuff through and through, they were wondering what happened to Travis.
Yeah, I mean, I think so he runs that that kart track up now up in Idaho, that Kart Idaho track. So I think his focus changed a little bit from, you know, driving race cars often to now going up there and running the kart track and running some racing series up there at his track. So you know, it really has, I think his focus just changed away from driving full time to you know, now running that kart track.
Gotcha. I kind of figured that way, but it's kind of one of those things that just popped out in my head wondering, because now that you brought out he was going to be driving down to Roseville, which obviously is neat because it's more cars the better, more variety the better, as people would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think there's 23 cars entered into this race this weekend at Roseville, so it's going to be a good race, and it's going to be fun for me to be able to be on the spotter stand and watch.
Absolutely. Now, of course, a year ago you were driving for the family team and all of that. How did the GMS deal came to be when it was initially going to be a regional schedule?
Yeah, so trying to think, it'd be almost 2 years ago now that we brought Ryan Reed on board just to kind of come out and help driver, coach, and spot and stuff like that. And, you know, towards the end of last season, you know, I think I was kind of ready to start looking for some different stuff, maybe, you know, try to get into some more competitive equipment and kind of just challenge myself a little more. And, you know, Ryan started making some phone calls around on the East Coast on what different opportunities would be available to me. You know, and GMS is one of those options, and I think it's the one that was going to fit me the best. So that's where we ended up going. But you know, it's been quite a journey, you know, for me. You know, personally, moving all the way out to the East Coast and, you know, moving my whole life to North Carolina and running with a new team and new series, new crew chiefs. You know, it's been a big change in my life, but it's, you know, it's been a pretty exciting journey so far. You know, and hopefully we still got a long ways to go.
No, absolutely. For sure. It is a huge transition. Now, what has been the kind of, speaking of transition, what's been the grand advice that Ryan has gave you, considering he used to run the national level, won a couple times as well?
Yeah, you know, I think Ryan's been a huge help. The environment of NASCAR in North Carolina is very different from, you know, what I'd say is like a traditional lifestyle. So it's a tough road to navigate. And I think having someone like Ryan, who's been a part of the sport for so long and lived out there for so long, you know, really just helps me, being as young as I am, just try to navigate and be a part of this world. You know, he has a lot of knowledge when it comes to driving race cars. But really at the same time, I think, you know, Ryan's even a bigger piece of my life as just someone that's been out there long enough to know what are the right things to do, wrong things to do, you know, help keeping me surrounded by the right people. But, you know, Ryan's been a big influence on my life over this last year. You know, I'm definitely very thankful that I'm able to have him be a part of that.
Absolutely. Now, going in, now, as far as this season, the one of the performances that stand out is, of course, the top 10 at Gateway. But before we talk about Gateway, I want to bring up Nashville, because you started off with on the outside pole with Derek Krause and all that, and you were this close of getting a top 10. How important was that weekend for you to kind of build the confidence around you, the team, and the truck effort?
I think it was huge. You know, I think for me personally, going from market to trucks was a really big step. And there was definitely some nerves that were involved in that decision and that change to move up a level. You know, and to go to Nashville, which, you know, was a track that really I think most drivers in the series had never been to before. And I knew that was going to be an opportunity for me to kind of have a leg up on the competition, just because everyone was on a, you know, level playing field when it came to seat time at that, you know, specific racetrack. So I put in a lot of time, you know, really on iRacing on the Chevy sim before we even got there. And, you know, it paid off. But, you know, as far as a confidence builder went, you know, for our team for that weekend, it was a big deal. I think for everybody at Chevrolet GMS to see the speed that our 24 team had there was a big deal, qualifying up front like that. You know, running top five most of the night. And then we had a left rear get loose on pit road that kind of hurt us a little bit. But, you know, I think that was a good showing of our speed and kind of, you know, what is there, you know, the speed and the ability to run up front like that. You know, I think that was good for everybody to see. You know, it's been a while really since we've shown the ability to run up front. But, you know, it's kind of like a little bit of a diamond in the rough. You know, we're going to just kind of keep chipping away at it. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll get to a point where we can do that every weekend.
Did it help to have being a new venue for, well, I wouldn't say new venue, but a venue back on the calendar for many of them new? Did it help to have practice and qualifying? Because that's been one of the big things this season, is making most out of those sessions when available.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, being able to have practice for me is huge, because, you know, about 100% of these racetracks on the schedule I've never been to before. So it makes it tough not having practice or qualifying, you know, and especially really when, you know, even your starting position on some of these mile and a halfs is, you know, completely determined by the weekend prior. And, you know, if you get caught up in a wreck or, you know, motor blows up like we had at Talladega, it really hurts, you know, where you start. You know, the majority of these racetracks we go to, track position is a really big deal. So, you know, hopefully we can bring practice and qualifying back into our schedule next year. From the sounds of it, it sounds like we'll have it at about 50% of the races next year. You know, but as far as it goes personally for me, it's been tough not having that, but, you know, it's a challenge that everyone's going through right now. You just got to find a way to navigate the waters.
And for some instances where there's no practice of qualifying, you were still able to have a solid run. The one that comes up with mine is Gateway. How amazing was it to leave Gateway as long of a night as it was with the power outage and all, to get that top 10, considering the roller coaster year that you've had?
Yeah, I mean, it's been good. You know, I think Gateway was you know, another solid weekend for us. I don't think we had the speed that we needed to, you know, be a competitive truck, you know, compared to where Sheldon was at all night long. But, you know, still we kind of just kept our heads down and kept chipping away at it, and we're able to get that top 10. So, you know, that was a good race to have to put on the racing reference and stuff like that. But, you know, as far as, you know, speed and tracks that I think we can go back to next year and win at, Gateway is definitely going to be one that we're going to need to work on. But, you know, like I said, it was good to have the top 10 just to be able to show that we can go out and do that. You know, and hopefully we're getting, you know, a lot more top 10s next year. And quite honestly, we need to get quite a bit of wins next year as well.
Of course, just at Martinsville, it's going to be, I'd imagine, difficult because of the starting position. With Phoenix being the finale, you ran there compared to other tracks. How is the expectation going to be high to have a strong result down in Phoenix, especially being the final race of the season, especially also being a venue you've competed before?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Phoenix, quite honestly, is the race that I have had circled on my schedule all year long, where I felt like I could go out there and, you know, put together a top five run and honestly, possibly even a win. I think out of every track I've ever been to, Phoenix is probably my favorite. And I'm definitely looking forward to having a solid run at that track. You know, I know our guys are pretty focused on that one, you know, just for Sheldon and Zane right now, is that being the final race of the year. And that's going to be the one that, you know, settles the championship for the truck series. But, you know, for me personally, I think that's one where I can show up and put together a really solid run. You know, just because the seat time that I've had there prior, and from the sounds of it, we will have practice and qualifying at that race as well. So, hopefully I can, you know, put together a good couple of laps and get ourselves a good starting position. And, you know, hopefully put together a solid race to, end off the year.
Absolutely. What makes Phoenix very unique that it has bode well for you that you've had a circle for a while?
I think, you know, Phoenix just incorporates a lot of different, you know, aspects of different racetracks. You know, you kind of have that little bit of a mile and a half feel down in turns one and two, you know, and then three and four is kind of more like short track style, hard on the brakes, get to the bottom kind of deal. So, you know, it's a very unique racetrack, I think. I don't really think there's anywhere else on the schedule that you can compare to Phoenix. But, you know, there's a reason that NASCAR has chose to, you know, make that their championship venue for their top three series. So, you know, I think it races really well. I think you got, you know, a great fan base out there in Arizona. You know, but for me as a driving perspective, it just seems to fit. It seems to fit me well. You know, the things that I can do good, that racetrack takes advantage of those, and you know, be able to put together some good runs.
And I imagine friends and family will come by down there because it's probably the closest venue until next year when Sonoma's added to the calendar where they could probably see you. Am I correct?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll have a decent group come out to that race and come watch. So, you know, that's always fun for me to have, you know, family and friends come out to the track and you know, watch me do what I love to do. You know, and then like you said, next year having Phoenix or sorry, having Sonoma on the schedule is going to be huge. That's a track that I raced at before with ARCA West. From my hometown. So I'm pretty excited to, you know, go there and give it a shot.
Most certainly, to kind of, fortunately on the national series, they're looking more out west. Of course, Xfinity's going to Portland and then the truck series going back to Sonoma. It's going to be most certainly interesting to see how the truck series handle Sonoma after what has it been over 20 years since they last competed down there.
Yep. Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
All right, it's just only a few more questions left. One of them is, back as the photographer in me, I remember when being around with multiple West races, there's a couple drivers that tends to, before preparing for a race, they either just focus on the car, talk to their crew, or kind of keep themselves reserved, listening to music, kind of let them be themselves beforehand. Where do you fall into that line?
Yeah, I mean, I think Josh has us do some specific stuff before races that I didn't do last year. But yeah, I mean, I think I still have a lot of the same qualities that I did back when I was racing on the West Coast. And really for me, it's just having some time to be to myself, kind of think through the race, you know, what are my goals? How am I going to accomplish them? And, you know, and really just try to just relax for a little bit before, you know, strap into the car and go race. But, you know, it's nothing too crazy. I know a lot of guys have some, you know, very interesting things that they do. But, you know, as far as mine goes, it's pretty simple.
Music wise, because when I do these one-on-one interviews, I tend to ask because I'm more of a music guy as well. What type of music do you have routinely on your playlist? Because if I were to describe mine, it's pretty all over the place.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with you there. You know, my music choices are pretty broad, and I'll listen to just about anything, you know, from country to rap. So it's a pretty big swing. But, you know, as far as like getting ready for a race and trying to, you know, get yourself hyped up, I guess. It's got to be something like a rock or something just to get you going.
No, but certainly mine is pretty much rock, metal. Sometimes it goes to the independent route. It honestly kind of varies how I feel about the day or where I'm at, honestly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Music is it's very determined by mood. So I get what you're saying.
If there's one grand advice you were to tell younger competitors as far as their racing path, what would be the grand advice you tell them?
You know, it's tough. You know, I think everybody has different paths on, you know, how they're going to get to where they want to go in their careers. But, you know, I think what I would tell myself if I could go back 5 years and give myself a piece of advice is just to, you know, keep your head down. You know, this sport is notorious for beating you down and making it tough to move on to the next level. And, you know, this is unlike football or soccer where, you know, that you're going to win 50% of the time. You know, there's 43 guys you got to beat instead of just one team. So it's a tough sport to, you know, compete in. You got to be really mentally tough. You really just keep going. You know, you can't give up. You know, for me, I mean, I had some pretty rough stretches in my career where I didn't win a lot of races and didn't do too well. And I just kept my head down and kept trying. you know, it's paid off to this point, but you know, the hard work, you know, never ends. You know, I think you see, you know, guys that run in the, you know, guys that are running the Cup Series today still that, you know, work just as hard as anybody. And I think Kyle Larson is a great example of that, you know, even making it to the top level of the sport, you know, and he still works just as hard as he ever did and quite honestly harder. So you just got to, you know, kind of keep your head down and keep working.
No, most certainly. I think it's very important for anybody, whichever profession it may be, to kind of keep going at it. It's kind of like, there's no true sign of settling down or going full steady mode. You got to keep at it to keep yourself into the hunt and into the mix in the long haul.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I do think, you know, racing's tough, you know, whether it's motocross racing or Formula One racing or NASCAR, it's a pretty demanding sport, physically, but, you know, I think honestly, quite honestly, it's more of a mental sport than anything. And you just gotta, you know, you gotta keep going, you know, you gotta find something that, you know, if you love it enough, you're going to do anything to make it happen, and do anything to make it, you know, happen. So, just keep fighting.
Totally. The last question I have is more or less me being born in California around the Bay Area, San Jose and all that. Where exactly is Loomis? Because that's what it has you as your hometown.
Yeah. So Loomis is like a little bit north of Sacramento. And south of Auburn. So it's kind of between Sacramento and Auburn, just right off of I-80 in the foothills.
Gotcha. So it's right around, not too far from Roseville then.
Very, very close to Roseville. Yep.
Yeah, because obviously I was around California up until 2003 when I was 9 years old. Then I moved up to the Pacific Northwest. So I was just curious where exactly Loomis is, because that's kind of like I think in a lot of people's eyes, that an obscure town that people may not remember as much, but it sounds like it's not that far from the big city, honestly.
No, it's not. It's not far at all. I've grew up here my whole life. It's a really, really cool little small little country town. You know, it's been a big change for me going from a small town like Loomis, you know, then moving into Charlotte. So, you know, like I said earlier in the interview, it's been a great journey at this point, and I'm excited to continue.
No, absolutely. I kind of had the reverse feeling because like I mentioned, I was in the San Jose area and then headed out to old small town in Washington that I lived there for 11 years before moving back to a more city area.
Yep, absolutely.